when God created the earth, right? When he created all the things, on the seventh day he rested. And then it was really important for him that his people observe the Sabbath. Why? Because weaved into his grand design for humanity is rest, right? It is a pattern in the sense of God saying, I designed you in a way where my desire for you, if you want to thrive, if you want to flourish, the best way, like this far to the right, so to speak, is as I created you for, then take a day off. Most people work so they can retire someday, so they work to rest. And what I'm saying is, what if it was work from rest? Even in the day that we think we're taking off, like our minds are often still present, not where they're supposed to be, not where it's actually restful, not where it's us leaning on the Lord, trusting the Lord, believing that he's going to take care of what we need. When you can rest in the reality that God is sovereign and that he has a plan, then you can work to find the solutions from a place of rest instead of from a place of stress. So these conversations between Jake and I are really geared towards hopefully helping you and us move from where we are to where we could possibly be. And we call it moving right because for us, it's this idea of moving right on the bell curve. But sometimes that might give a little bit of a different impression than what we're really trying to capture. And today, our conversation, I think, gives a clearer picture of what we're really trying to talk about. And in this conversation, we're going to talk about rest. Right? It's not hustle. It's not success in the way that maybe other people are talking about it. It's really saying, when I look at the whole of my life, where are there areas that if I can improve these areas, my life is going to get better? The lives of people around me are going to get better. Where are there blind spots that I might have? And so for me, I know in my life, for a long time, rest has definitely been a blind spot or a spot that I wrestle with, I struggle with. And I think if you're watching this, maybe you can relate. I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe their life looks successful on the outside, but they just never feel at peace. They never feel fully rested. And so that's what Jake and I are going to tackle today. Hopefully something we talk about in here will help not just you guys, but us ourselves actually move right as it relates to the bell curve of feeling rested and peaceful.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. You know, that's really interesting you bring up rest because it's totally a counterintuitive topic, right? Like, and I can relate to what you said too, of like, for me, naturally, I've always been, since I was a kid, I've always been the one to want to push as hard as I can because, you know, I've always felt like the harder I push and the more I complete, the more satisfied I am at the end of it, right? If I really push myself to the limits, I'm like, and I come out on top or, you know, come out at all, I'm just stoked about it. And, that kind of is a double-edged sword though, sometimes for me, where it's like, then when I feel like I get a moment to rest, then I feel like I'm doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like maybe it's like I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, man, I don't got anything on my list right now. And then I'll go find something, right? I'll go find a way to fill my calendar for that point in time. And, you know, I like you said, I don't think that's actually moving me to the right. Cause most of the times when I end up afterwards, I'm end up, at, you know, 80 or 70% capacity, versus when I actually genuinely have rest. I'm not saying I don't rest any time, but when I, there's a difference in like real rest versus, you know, fake rest, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the things that I've jotted down here as you were talking is I think that it's not just rest, it's also peace, right? I think that for me, like offline, I told you that there's been some things that have happened in my life in the last few days that really made this a topic that I really wanted to talk about. And it's because what I realized is, at least for me, I can't speak for everybody else. I don't want this to be a blanket statement, but I think a lot of people could relate to this, is that it's often anxiety. We're anxious about a future that we don't know, we can't control, we're trying to control. That is where our inability or unwillingness to rest comes from. And the example that I was thinking about is, you know, and you know this, it's like, just my email inbox every day is just, it's overwhelming, right? And constantly trying to keep up with it, constantly trying to like, can I get everything in there? And then like in this weird way, every time I go in, just going, I have no idea what I'm going to find. Is it going to be another bomb going off, you know, hypothetically? Yeah. And so there's just like this underlying anxiety. And I would never have like thought of myself as an anxious person. But then I started thinking about in other areas of my life where I just go, oh, what's really pushing me to operate in this place where I feel like I can never rest is being anxious about the future, being anxious about something that hasn't even happened yet, or I don't even know what's going to happen yet, or I don't even know if it's a thing yet. And so I think for me, what's really been speaking to me, I really felt like the Lord put on my heart just saying, hey, like you can be successful. You can be doing even the thing that I created you to do. You can be helping people. You can be serving people. But if you're still living a life of angst and worry, then you're missing the whole boat. And so literally the last several days, I've just been going, what would it look like to live today with literally like no anxiousness, no worry about something that I can't control or even that I can control, just going through the day. And I think it's so counter to how we're taught and how we're led and how we're motivated and how we're inspired. It's like so opposite to think, well, maybe actually the secret is just being at peace, accepting that we don't have control over a whole bunch of things, and choosing every day not to be anxious.
Yeah, that's really good. And you know, for me, I could really relate to that as well, because something I wrote down before we had this conversation, I was just kind of having a self-analysis. And for me, I feel like part of the reason why I don't necessarily feel like I take good enough rest or I push really hard, is because it's kind of rooted in fear a little bit. Like maybe I'm not doing enough, right? Like I could be doing more, and maybe I'm not doing enough because I get in this like performance mindset, which is probably a lot due to our culture nowadays. You brought up like at the beginning, hustle culture, grind culture, right? And not to say that there aren't points in time where you do that, but you get caught up in it, and then you start applying that to different areas where you probably shouldn't be applying it, right? And like for me, and I know probably a lot of Christians watching are like, you know, you get in this performative mindset of like, man, I want to go to heaven, so I got to do things, you know, I got to do things to go to heaven. Right. And it's like, that's the most counterintuitive part to this rest idea for me. And, you know, I wanted to share this parable I heard that was talking about rest. And I think you're going to really like this. But it was a axe cutting competition. Okay. And there was an axe cutting competition. It was from sunrise to sunset. And there was two people in the axe cutting competition. And one of them was an 18-year-old kid. He was jacked, just total muscle guy, best axe cutter in the county, whatever. And then there's another guy, older guy, veteran guy, done it forever, whatever. So they're going through this day of axe cutting. And they're cutting logs. And the young kid's just all day, every day. Or all day, the entire competition, just after it. And he'd look over, and every time he'd look over, he'd see the guy sitting on his stump. Just, he wasn't sure what he was doing. He's like, oh, I'm going to dust this guy. He's just sitting over there, sitting on his stump. And sure enough, the competition ends at sunset, and the old man was the winner, and the kid was just dumbfounded that the old guy won. He's like, how did this happen? And the old guy walked over to him, and he said, well, what you didn't know is every time I sat on my stump, I sharpened my axe. And like that idea to me is like, for the people like us that are like, man, I really like to work hard and do the best I can. Sometimes that means like not necessarily, like you said, don't be consumed by the anxiety. Just rest and take that off your shoulders, you know?
Yeah, so I like the analogy, but I got one problem with it, is that even when he was sitting on his stump, he wasn't resting, right? Yeah. So like for me, I'm literally sitting here going, what, is there really a time for hustle and grind, you know, in the sense of the way that we think about it culturally? You know, when I when I think about the example of Jesus in the Bible, one of the things that I think pretty much everyone can agree on is you never get a sense of hurry from him. You know, even like when Lazarus died and they're like, hey, he's really sick. He's going to die. You got to get here. And it's like he took his time. He took his time to the point where the guy died and he was dead for multiple days before he got there. And then, you know, and then they come out and they're like, had you just been here, he wouldn't have died. And yet he wasn't anxious. He wasn't worried. And so, you know, you and I have had lots of talks about what are you going to do next? And I've had talks about what am I going to do and where are we going to go? And this is what I'm saying. It's not that like we sit there and we think that we're anxious. It's almost like it's a deception that we're not, that we think we're not anxious when really all the festering of trying to figure these things out are driven by angst, I think, in many ways. And so think about like one of the things that jumped out at me when this all started was I like flipping through X, you know, every once in a while. It's better than watching the news if you want news. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, all of these, and you think about even content, like you go on YouTube and you look at people's headlines or their titles and thumbnails, and the ones that are usually the most successful, at least that I can tell, usually have some fear-based component, like you only have 2 years left. You're going to get replaced by AI. And so all that's doing, I think, and we don't even often know it because like we think we're it's not affecting us, is it's planting seeds of anxiety. It's planting seeds of worry. It's planting seeds of, oh, now I got to go do something. I got to go figure this out. I got to go fix this. And I think what the Lord wants to say or wants us to know, I don't want to speak for the Lord, but for me, in my mind, what I think he would say to us is, so it's all up to you? Because like when you read your Bible, the ones that it seems he used to the greatest degree weren't the ones who were sitting there worrying about all those things. They were the ones who were like, I'm going to live my life today and I'm just going to do what I think you told me to do. And so for me, like, I don't know, man, I wonder, like I said, is there even a time and place for the hustle and grind? Now and again, going back to what we've talked about so many times, it's friction. See, my human brain is looking for a way to make sense. So I go, well, I know that hustle and grind all the time isn't very good. And yet, I wonder if hustle and grind never is okay. As I want some level of certainty, like that's what our brains desire. And then I go, but I think, okay. And then there's this other argument, well, you can't just do nothing. Like God wants you to do something. I think that's true. And so I think that there's a friction that we want to get rid of that we're not supposed to get rid of. I think the friction is, hey, every day when you wake up, be cognizant of the world. All day, every day, whether it's opening your emails, opening your bills, I don't know, driving to work, if you're afraid of getting in the car, whatever it might be, every day, the world around you is going to try and get you to be anxious, and it's going to try and do it without you even knowing. So can we wake up every day choosing and just saying, Lord, like, I trust you, and I'm not going to strive. I think maybe that's the word, constantly striving. This constant, and I think that's why Jesus said, come to me if you have this heavy burden, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if I think in my life, man, like most of the time, I feel like there is an insurmountably heavy burden on my shoulders that I have to strive to carry and to make sure it doesn't like fall off or pull me backwards. And to me, I think like if we're talking about moving right, that ain't it, right? I think moving right is, can I wake up today? Can I wake up tomorrow? Can I wake up the next day? Can I not be in a hurry? Can I not be in a rush? Can I not be anxious or worried about what's happening politically or whatever? And, you know, I know there are people who say, oh, so you just become a pacifist, and that's not what I'm saying. And it's very hard to articulate for somebody else what I mean. Because again, I think it's a friction that the Lord wants us to deal with individually, internally, you know, because like you are different than I am and I'm different than somebody watching this. But I think we all know in our mind when we are operating and we are feeling exhausted from striving.
Yeah, that's interesting. So just to clarify what you're saying, if I'm following you correctly, in terms of rest of what you're talking about for you and in the applicable stance of what you're saying, Are you more saying it's more like an overall rest? It's like a how you approach it, how you approach a confrontation or you know, setbacks or something like that, where it's a less of a figuring it out, less of a striving, like you're saying, instead of the flip side of maybe it being like, okay, you know, there's like a there every day you'd spend 15 minutes a day resting. Right. You're saying it's not quite that. It's more or for you. It's not quite that. It's the more overall.
I think it's a combination. So like when God created the earth, right, when he created all the things on the seventh day, he rested. Mm-hmm. And then it was really important for him that his people observed the Sabbath. Why? Because it weaved into his grand design for humanity is rest. Right. Mm. When I was young, it was like if you only needed 4 or 5 hours of sleep, you were like a superhero. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years and all the sleep research comes out and people are like, oh, anybody who's been most people who have been sleeping 4 to 5 hours are actually killing themselves because rest is where we repair. It's where our body gets fixed. It's where it heals itself. And my point being is like rest, actually taking time to rest is very important. But what I'm saying is. And I'm going to tie this into what I think the Bible is saying as well. But before I do, what I am saying is if we are not coming from a mindset of anxious, of no anxiousness or worry-freeness, if we're coming from the opposite, then even when we're resting, we're probably not resting. Because while we're trying to rest, we're worried or anxious about the thing we got to do the next day or the day after that or the day after that. And this is where I want to tie it into what I think the Bible is saying is Jesus said, I am your rest. I am the rest. Mm. And so what I think, the way that I try and piece those together and like put the puzzle together is go, oh, if every day I wake up and I believe that I find rest from striving, from trying to earn everything, from trying to control everything and worry about everything, if I find that in Christ, right, then I won't have a problem taking a day off. And I'll actually take the day off. Because in my mind, I'm not responsible for making everything happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I don't have to be responsible for everything, I don't have to strive about everything, and I can actually take a day off, and then I think the actual rest is actually restful.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I had two verses that, because I did a little pre-research on this kind of topic before we started talking. And one of them you already mentioned in Genesis, you know, God on the seventh day, he rested, he made that day holy. And that was more of a, people see that number, the seven, and they give it to more of a actual value, like, you know, once a week, right? We give our once a week, you know, Sunday I rest. But then I was reading in Romans, actually, I was reading, Romans 14:5, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord, and the one who eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the other one who abstains in honor in the Lord and gives thanks to God. And I think that's kind of tying into what you're saying, where maybe, which I mean, this is confusing to me, right? Because like part of me is like my, like you said, my human brain goes, oh yeah, the 7 days, like the seventh day, let's just every Sunday, let's just take it off and, you know, go to church and watch football, you know? But then I hear that and it's like, okay, but that's not, it's not a prescription, right?
Yeah, well, I think what he's talking about in that passage in particular is people, as I understand it at least, people were arguing about which day of the week was supposed to be the Sabbath now that Christ had risen. And so I don't think that he's advocating for not taking a day or even taking more than one day. I think he was trying to say like, hey, the day that you're taking isn't the issue here. It's not the main point, right? It's not the big picture. The big picture, right, is you're fighting in the weeds, so to speak. That's what I think. But I think that they're like, so when I think of the Bible, I think the Bible is a book of patterns, right? Like principles, promises. And so that's why like the Bible is the best book, the best manual for real life, because it is the manual that God gave us for life. And so when you read the manual, one of the things that the manual advocates for time after time after time is take a day off, right? And then in Proverbs, there's multiple times where it says, hey, don't be lazy. Because if you're lazy, you'll be hungry. If you're lazy, bad things will happen to you. And so is it a prescription in the sense like one day, never miss a day, don't make it 2 days? I don't think so. But I think it is a pattern in the sense of God saying, I designed you in a way where my desire for you, if you want to thrive, if you want to flourish the best way, like this far to the right, so to speak, as I created you for, then take a day off. And here's the thing, like if you actually look at the Sabbath in the Bible, it wasn't just about rest. It was actually about setting that day apart as holy unto God. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and this is where so much of our faith is counterintuitive, is we would think, well, if I work 7 days a week, I will definitely be more productive. And I think what God was trying to show us was, listen, I want you to sacrifice, so to speak, that one day a week. I want you to set that day a week apart to honor me, to honor what I've done in your life, to honor who I am, to worship me, to glorify me. And then I want you to trust me that I will make up for, or I will give you enough, maybe is a better way of saying it, in those 6 days. And this is exactly a microcosm of what I'm trying to say. It's like, I think inherently most of us, I know for me, whether it's, and maybe people are still, quote, taking the day off, but this is exactly what I'm trying to say. I think that the world has so sucked us in to the way the world works, the model of the world, the way that seems right to a man, that even in the day that we think we're taking off, like our minds are often still present, not where they're supposed to be, not where it's actually restful, not where it's us leaning on the Lord, trusting the Lord, believing that he's going to take care of what we need, and instead thinking about being anxious about planning for and trying to figure out what we're going to do the next day when we go back so that we can like control the situation and make things happen. And that's why part of why I wanted to have this conversation is because in our past conversations, you know, things can probably be easily construed for it to just be all about like production, performance, measurability. Like one of the things I told you in my hesitation to even call this moving right is I know that people will immediately think, oh, so it's about comparison. And I understand why they could say that or would say that or would think that, but that's the heart behind it isn't that. It's really more of in your own mind. When you're sitting there and you're like, man, I know that what I'm doing is just lumping me right into what's normal, what's acceptable, what's accepted. And I think that God made me for more. I think that God has more possibility. And the only way that I will actually obtain what's possible is to not do what everyone else is doing. Because inherently, to move over to get a result that not everyone else is getting, you have to be thinking and doing things differently. That's why I think the Bible says, Don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You gotta actually transform the way you think. And when you do that, then transforms the way that you act. And then that transforms the outcomes that you experience. And so for me, as it relates to what we're talking about today, it's like, man, when I think in my own life, like, what is it today? I'm checking the boxes of like being productive. I'm checking the boxes of, you know, making a good living. I'm checking the boxes of being a dad and a husband and all these things. It's like, there's one box that I'm not very good at checking. Mm-hmm. And it's this. And over the last week, it's like, I feel like the Lord really showed me. It's like, yeah, man, because you're anxious, because you're trying to strive to control an outcome. And this is what I really felt like he put on my heart. Man, you can check all those boxes and you can look like you've got it all together from the outside. But it's a sin to be anxious. It's a sin to worry. It's missing the mark. It's not being in a place that's as great as what he made for you, as what he created for you. And the only way I'm going to get to that place is to stop striving, is to stop trying to control the outcomes and like strap things on my back and say, we're going to go. And instead, it's exactly what you said. Instead of, for me, instead of the guy, and I understand the analogy, but like in a real life example, instead of being the guy sitting on the stump sharpening the axe, how about like us sitting on the stump saying, when the world is running around in chaos and noise and distraction and anxiety and worry, I'm just going to sit here in your presence quietly. And I'm just going to tell you, I trust you. I'm just going to tell you that you know what I need. And I don't have to sit here out about what I'm going to do for my job and what I'm going to do next week and how I'm going to pay for my kids to do this and this and this. And I'm just going to say, you're the God of enough. I trust you. And to me, I think that's what he's looking for more than how many people did you influence and how much money did you make and all those different things. And I think it's really easy for all of us, myself included, to just find ourselves just veering off of the path. And so for me, I like having these kinds of conversations because I think they help bring us back towards the path.
Yeah, that's really good. I think one of the common misconceptions is really, and I was even just sitting here thinking about it. Like I can piece together an idea of my mind of what true rest really looks like. Like what do I look like at true rest? Like you talked about just sitting, the person not even sharpening the axe, just sitting on a log. Right. And I think there's like times where I can picture myself in those positions, but I think what you're talking about is being intentional with that. And I think part of being intentional with that is understanding what true rest really means. And it's like, for an example, because I can't really put a word to it, and maybe you can. For hunting, for me, I love being out in the middle of the forest. But even in the middle of the forest, I'm still the guy sitting sharpening my axe, right? I mean, I'm still sitting there like, okay, where are the animals moving? What direction's the wind going? When's the sun going to set? And I'm still sitting there. And there's been moments, and some of my best moments, my most connected moments to the Lord has been when I'm sitting there and I haven't gotten any movement. I saw no animals. I've been sitting there all day. And I'm just like, it's, you know, I'm either walking back to my truck at sunset or something. And I'm just like, that's my deepest moment where I've like stripped everything, all of that weight of feeling like I'm striving for something. Right. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, 100%. I wrote down as you were talking, it's like, you know, you hear the phrase all the time now, it's not about the next diet, it's about a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Or in the speaking world, it's like the guy who has to read from a script every time versus the guy who can just flow because it's who he is. And I think that's what we're talking about is like, I think the Lord wants us to become people who are just at rest. Mm-hmm. And I can say, like, dude, I've never lived that way, never in my whole entire life. And so I'm like, part of why I want to do this, as I said, is in the last several days, like everything has changed to the point where I go, I want to live a life of someone at rest. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to be doing things. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be wanting to create value and to provide and all that stuff. But what it means to me is like, when I'm walking around, it's exactly what you said. When you're out in the woods, instead of like sharpening the axe or getting on the GPS or whatever, you just kind of are sitting there just going, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And this is the part that's so crazy to me. It's like some people listening to this, they might just go, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like if you do things that way, like nothing will ever happen. And this is the crazy part for me. I'm not saying that I'm right and they're wrong, but what I'm saying is I have lived that way. I have been the guy that lived the way my whole life where it's like, I'm gonna make it happen. I'm gonna work my butt off. I'm gonna wake up early. I'm gonna be excellent. I'm gonna stress about the details. I'm gonna go home late. I'm gonna do all those things. And guess what? All those things have been fruitful. I'm not saying that they're not fruitful, but I'm like, but you know the thing I've been missing? The thing I miss most of the time is the thing I desire the most, which is to actually live a life of peace and rest because I'm tired. Like I'm tired.
Right.
And I think most people watching this, bro, I think are tired. And so the world's telling me like, no, you got to keep doing that because the only way you're going to get ahead, the only way you're ever going to have all the things you need, the only way you're going to provide for your family and whatever else is to keep being that way. And I'm like, but my Bible tells me a different story. And so the question is, you know, Jesus always said, if you believe in me, and I think, and I could be wrong here, but I think that a lot of times we think it means just believe that he is who he said he was. And I think that's most of it. But I also think it's, do you believe you can live the way I said you could live? And I think most of us, when we look at the way we live our lives and the things we pursue and the things we're worried about and anxious about, like the fruit of our life is no, I don't fully believe. Like my fruit says, no, I don't fully believe I can live like that. And I'm just at a point where I'm like, hey, I'm not saying that all the other things don't have a place, but what I'm saying is I want my chief goal to be that I love people and that every day when I walk around, I'm at peace because I'm at rest, because I'm resting in him. I'm resting in his provision. I'm resting in his plan, his sovereignty, his purpose. Like think about you and trying to figure out what you're going to do next. How much stress, how much weight has that created in your life?
Oh yeah. I'm going to be great by the time I'm 30.
And I think the world is probably going to say, yeah, man, but you got to figure it out. Like keep doing the studies and keep jotting down the notes and keep pushing until you find it. And I think he's saying the exact opposite. I think he's saying, no, Jake, trust me. Take one foot and put it in front of the other. Do what I've put in front of you. Stop stressing. Stop being anxious. Stop being worried, because I will show you when you're ready. I will show you when it's your time. And all the angst and all the energy that it's going to suck out of you in the meantime isn't necessary. It's not what I have for you. I would rather you spend that time saying to me, hey, you haven't shown me my path yet. I feel a little confused, but I trust you. What else do you want to tell me today? What else do you want to show me today? What else do you want me to see that I can't see when I'm stuck in this mode of just constantly stressing and striving and like obsessing over what I'm supposed to do next and who I'm supposed to be and what my calling is? And that's what I'm talking about. And I know, because bro, I've lived it. Like I'm living it. And I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't.
Yeah. No, that's good. And I mean, just to clarify, you put it into great words, but for somebody listening, it's not doing anything. It's like, you're still out, you're still working. It's just, and you're still doing it. You're still providing as a father. You're still being present for your kids and your wife and all of that. And it's doing it in peace. It's doing it in I think it's a Jackie Chan, and I think you've told us me before. It's like flow like water, you know, and it's like that. That's it. It's like the walking in peace and in rest, right? And that's the topic we're talking is in like resting in that and being okay and like simmering in it, you know.
Yeah, I think what I wrote down as you were talking is doing things from a place of rest. Instead of, because think about this, bro, like we even work so that most people work so they can retire someday. So they work to rest. And what I'm saying is, what if it was work from rest? Right. So as another example, like when I think one of the practical things that I've been doing the last few days is like, dude, I normally just despise waking up and opening my email, because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to find. There's going to be 200 emails in here. I know I can't get through them all in a day. It's so stressful. It makes me anxious. It's overwhelming. There's too much. And then and then your brain starts to go into these things. Well, if I don't respond and I don't deal with the fires and I don't do what I'm supposed to do, we're going to lose business and I'm going to have to lay people off. And your mind just goes into the vortex. Even though you're not necessarily thinking about all those things, it's like your mind has a tendency to jump to these worst case scenarios, right? And I just been saying, you know what, I'm gonna wake up and I'm just gonna choose not to get stressed out about what's in my email box, and I'm gonna do the best that I can. And if I can't get to everything and somebody doesn't like that and they want to fire me, then I'm gonna accept it, not because I'm not trying to serve them, but because I'm actually gonna like not let serving them kill me. And then if that means that we lose business and I have to let some people go, like, I'm just not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just not going to try and like control it. I'm just not going to try and ruin my life in a way by carrying this thing that I'm supposed to carry. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to be lazy. It doesn't mean I'm going to not take care of people. It just means like, yeah, maybe the reality is I either got to get better at delegating things, or I got to hire more people, or I just got to not have as much business. But my point is just that I think it's, in many ways, it's a choice. And I know there are times where somebody's in a situation where it don't feel like a choice. And I get that. But the reality stays the same. It just gets harder. And the reality is, whether it's my emails or for somebody watching this, they don't know how they're going to pay their medical bills. It's Well, when you can rest in the reality that God is sovereign and that he has a plan, then you can work to find the solutions from a place of rest instead of from a place of stress.
Right. And like time scarcity and all of it. It's a place of fear, really. And I can relate 100%. So that's really good.
Yeah. And I think, and we could probably wrap here, but you just nailed it. What underpins anxiety? What underpins worry? What underpins me not liking opening up my email inbox most of the time? It's fear. It's just fear. And I think that's why the Bible says so many times, do not fear. That's why Jesus said, I am your rest. I am rest. And that's why he says he's the Prince of Peace. And he gives you peace that passes understanding. Because just like I said, every time you open up X, or if you watch the news, please stop. But if you do, you turn on the news. Man, it's like it's all just meant to make you afraid. And so if we know that the Bible calls us to be people who are unafraid, people who just don't listen to the barking, roaring lion. I guess it can't be barking and roaring. The roaring lion. I think it can change the world. And I think the reason that things in many ways are the way they are is because we haven't fully collectively as Christians, and I know I haven't in my life, just decided, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to stop allowing this underlying fear to be the master that I serve. And instead, I'm going to serve the Prince of Peace. And the way you'll know that I'm serving him is I'll be at peace.
Yeah, your fruit will reflect it 100%. So, yeah, that's good.
Well, if you're still here, we appreciate you being here. We love having these conversations. Hopefully this one was a little bit different. Hopefully you found some value in it. If anything we said jumped out at you and you want to let us know, share it in the comments below. Or if you think that someone you know could benefit from the conversation we just had, we'd love it if you'd share it with a friend. And definitely love if you would subscribe to the channel, hit that like button, try and spread the message a little bit more. We would really like these kinds of conversations to get out and help whoever they're supposed to help. So again, thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out. You can head over to kosturos.com, KOSTUROS.com, if you want to dive a little bit deeper. And until then, have a great day and we'll see you next time.